Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for our brothers and sisters who always encourage us and help us to sing praise to your name as we all approach the throne of grace and sing hallelujah to the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy in our lives. We thank you for the blessings that you give to us. And as Mike sang, you are the fairest of all, Lord Jesus, and we pray, come, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that tonight we have the opportunity to see and think again about the glorious days of extended peace on the earth when you reign on the earth for 1,000 years. The tremendous blessing of the time of refreshing, the time of regeneration on the earth as you reign from Jerusalem, and all the nations come to you to hear the word of God and to learn. And we thank you for that opportunity to see the glory of God revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth, reigning and ruling with his people until finally the end of days comes. There is a new heaven and a new earth. These are the things we thank you for. These are the things of our future. And we rejoice and we pray tonight that by the Holy Spirit we would have the ability to understand and comprehend just a little bit of these glorious mysteries and truths that are ours. We pray for our brothers who tonight are way far away, four of them who are in Southeast Asia, up on the mountains and places that where people have never heard the name of Jesus. We pray that you might help them, protect them, provide them with all they need. Send those men and women of peace their way so that they might have places to stay and have what they need in order to establish and share the gospel and establish and plant churches all across that world. We claim it in the name of Jesus even before he comes back to the earth. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to send our people and for our people's willingness to go. We pray now that you'd help us to understand your word, and thank you for the privilege we have to read the Bible in our own language. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good evening. Good to see all of you. I hope that you picked up the outline. And those of you who are online, may the Lord bless you. We're honored to have you here tonight with us. And this is a continuation of last week. And there is no way that I can repeat and summarize what I said last week except to say that if you are interested, you can go out. And these men do it. And I'm thankful for Brother Ricky and Jeff doing this. They do this every week. And they make sure that we can be online, and so all of this is recorded and you can go back and listen. And I appreciate those of you who responded to me this week who are not able to be here about what we talked about last week, and I hope that that tonight will be an encouragement to you also. For some of us, these are things that we've never quite heard before. We've heard about them or references to them, but you've never quite had them put before you like I'm wanting to do. There is and I won't spend a lot of time here, but there is just a diagram that we put in your notes, just because I don't know where everybody's at in their own studies, but this will help you to see and understand the progress of God's work in history. And so we find ourselves now in the church on the earth, and here we are during these days before what is called the rapture, the taking out of the church. And then you see up there, you can follow along, but there comes a tribulation time like has never been, and that's recorded primarily for us in Revelation 6 through 18, but there are great references to it. Even we see them in Isaiah. The frustrating thing for me is that we cannot link all of these together in one study. They require a lot of work, but we're focusing on the square there of Revelation 20 verses 1 through 6, the 1,000-year millennial reign. The Lord Jesus will return, and when he returns to the earth, physically, literally, he will come and reign in Jerusalem. And then there'll be final rebellion and one last judgment, as we read in Revelation 20. And then we come to the glorious eternal state, a new heaven and a new earth, which will come, and things we cannot imagine Eye has not seen nor ear heard. Isn't that what Paul was quoting for us from the Old Testament? Eye has not seen nor ear heard what yet has entered in to the heart of man, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Do you know that tonight? Do you know that as a loved one of the Lord Jesus Christ, He has prepared things for you that are unimaginable? And I hope that you will take that to heart and be encouraged. When you get caught up in the day's current events, you will realize and look up. Look up, because your redemption draws near. Tonight we'll read some extended passages of Scripture, because we'll need to do that in order to see some of these glorious truths of Isaiah. We've been looking at Isaiah I don't even know how long. And so we've looked at the glory of the Messiah. We looked at the glory of the Messiah in Isaiah related to His suffering, His first coming. You see, when the Lord Jesus left this earth, He was not reigning. He suffered and died and rose from the dead and ascended to heaven. So one of the ways that you can help yourself understand things about Messiah, so there are things written in the Old Testament, prophecies and predictions about the first coming of Messiah. And they've been well documented, but there are also records that we're looking at tonight and will in some other days of the second coming of the Lord, when He returns to this earth, deals with Israel, deals again with the nations, finishes the work that is His to do, which is back on the earth. So it is important for us to deal with that. So when you read things about the earth, and you'll see them tonight, and you read them and think, well, some people say, well, that's heaven. That's not heaven. You see, heaven's not filled with animals. You know, heaven's not filled with animals. A new heaven and a new earth. Perhaps we have an earth and the wonderful imaginations of all of that, and we have some pictures of the eternal state. The fact is that there is a going out of the Lord in ascension, and there is a coming back to the earth and reigning. I am one who believes confidently, preaches it, believes it, lives it, that we are in the last of days, urgent days, when the Lord Jesus will come again. And I am one of those who believes strongly with conviction from my own time in the Word of God over these years that the Lord Jesus will again reign from Jerusalem. There are things that only the Lord will be able to take care of that have to be dealt with in this world. Or we do not have a God of justice and righteousness. So with those things said, let's go and look at some amazing verses together. Let's walk our way through some things together. And we're going to pick up in let me just repeat on the outline. Number one, we said that the focal truth is that Jesus Christ will reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. A literal 1,000 years. We find that in Revelation 20. And John makes it clear for us what he saw. He was not having just some idea. He saw this. He saw it before it happened in prophecy to come. And we saw, number one, God's Word tells of the coming earthly reign of the Lord Jesus before the coming of the eternal state. He will fulfill the promise of the mandate of ruling and subduing the earth. Adam and Eve did not do that. He will have dominion. The Lord Jesus will have dominion on the earth. He will fulfill the promise of ruling as the ultimate son of David over Israel and over the entire earth. Luke chapter 1, in the very prophecy of His first coming, He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David. That is an earthly Davidic throne. It's not a heavenly throne. It's a Davidic throne on the earth. Zechariah 14, which is an astounding chapter in its own right, related to the millennial reign of Christ, the Lord shall be king over the earth. Jesus will defeat His enemies from the great tribulation, as we read in Revelation, and He will imprison Satan. Literally, there will be no satanic presence on the earth for 1,000 years, which is a powerful thing to remind us of what will happen to change the world. I think we underestimate the reality of Satan and his traps and his dominion over this world. He is the god of this world. Saints will rule and martyrs will be resurrected, and they will rule as governors and reign across the globe. You must think of a global reign here. Who's going to be in charge in India? Resurrected martyrs and saints. A time of perfect righteousness where there's real justice and equity in the world. There will be a time of judgments. There will be judgments that will take place. The reign of the Lord Jesus on the earth will be a time of creation. Again, the groaning of creation is taking place because of the creation being affected by the fall and sin of man. As Paul reminds us, creation is groaning, waiting for the adoption of the sons of men. He's talking about this second coming and all that's involved. There'll be earthly renewal. There'll be prosperity, righteousness, peace, international harmony on the earth, because there'll be one king, one ruler over all of it, and he will reign over the entire earth. The Lord will reign on the earth, number three, and Israel will be placed in its leadership role. As we saw last week, the nations will, Isaiah 62, you see, there are things specifically said to Israel that you can't. This is the thing that troubles some. They try to make Israel and the church the same. They're not. They're not. There are Jewish people who come to be a part of the church, but there is Israel and the Jewish nation. I'm talking about the historical place tonight in Israel, in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv. The land is limited. God promised a broader land to Israel. They do not have it now. There are all kinds of political conflicts which have gone on forever. Israel became a state in 1946. These things are moving toward a climax. God has a plan and purpose. It's not all just spiritual things. Everything that happens, some people preach that Jesus is just makes everything spiritual. There are earthly things yet to be done, and Jesus Christ will come again to this earth. And Israel, as Paul says, as I've said before, in a very confusing section for some people, Romans 9, 10, and 11 is about the election and choice of Israel and the work of God in that nation. All Israel will be saved. There's coming a day when the Jewish people will turn to Yeshua Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will bow and confess to Him as a nation. What a time that will be. The reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth will bless all believers in the Lord Jesus from all the nations. So now we read some words about the universal reign of God. Let's go to Isaiah 2 for the first part of this. Isaiah 2, we read along together. Those of you at home, I hope that you can read along with us. Isaiah 2, beginning in verse 1. This is at the very beginning of the book of Isaiah. This is a section where we, in the prosperity of Israel in these days. Now Isaiah looks way beyond. He speaks way beyond. And all of a sudden he uses a phrase that the apostles use. Last days. Last days. He's looking beyond now. He's looking beyond even where we are tonight in the time of grace and the time of the church. He's looking beyond tribulation. He's looking beyond to a time of the reign, the universal reign of Messiah. Now it will come about that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. That's Zion, that's Jerusalem, with a new temple. And will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. Has that ever happened? No. Is that a spiritualization of heaven? No. He's talking about a mountain. He's talking about Jerusalem. The nations will stream to Jerusalem, to the holy mountain of all mountains. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go. You're hearing now what's going to be said in the millennium. Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, of the God of Jacob, that He, not they, He, capital H, Messiah, Lord Jesus Christ, will be in Jerusalem, alive as he is now, gloriously alive in Jerusalem. He, notice it, it's a beautiful thing. He may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, Jerusalem, from the hill of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations. Has that happened? No. Is this some heavenly state? No. It's earthly. It will happen on the earth, and it hasn't happened yet. It did not happen in the Lord's first coming. He will judge between the nations. Who? Who's going to call the shots on all the nations? The Lord Jesus Christ. I'm getting worked up, but I want you to think about it. China bows. The dark world of Islam. The dark devil religion. All bow. They all are judged and will render decisions for many peoples, and they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. It humors me when politicians read these words and they have no clue what they're talking about.
Amen.
This is about the millennial reign of Christ.
Yes.
It's not about the UN.
No.
Oh, am I offending anybody? I'm sorry.
Come on.
I really don't care.
Amen.
Isaiah 11. The reign of the Lord Jesus Christ will bless all believers in the Lord Jesus from the nations. By the way, Jews will be saved. They're being saved now. Have you ever heard of Jews for Jesus? Some of my dear friends, Jewish friends, they were a part of Jews for Jesus. What a wonderful organization. Their whole sole purpose is to share the gospel among their own people, the Jews. Let me tell you something. There is nothing like meeting a born-again Jew. And I mean that. I'm talking about it's powerful. They love the Lord Jesus, Yeshua. They praise Him. They have recognized Him. There's nothing more powerful than a Jewish man or woman who's on fire for Jesus. Wait till it's a whole nation. Isaiah 11. Then, this is a transition from judgment. We'll go back and read Isaiah 10, 33. Behold, the Lord, the God of hosts, will lop off the boughs with a terrible crash. Those also who are tall in stature will be cut down. And those who are lofty will be abased. This is what happens when the Lord Jesus comes again. He comes judging the nations with the angels. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with an iron axe. And He's not going and doing forestry. This is poetic language about the nations. And Lebanon will fall by the mighty one. Notice the mighty one. Who is the mighty one? Is the Lord Jesus. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse. A branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and strength. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor. Who is the he? It is the Lord Jesus. This is the language of the millennium. He will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. You remember we talked about there'll still be sin, there'll still be struggles during the millennial time. That's why there'll be a final battle when the nations again gather, when Satan is let loose to try to destroy the Lord Jesus. He will decide with fairness the afflicted of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. That's not heavenly. That's earth language. That happens on the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb. This is a different change in the created order now. The wolf will dwell with the lamb. That doesn't work in today's world, does it? That doesn't work in nature today. If you put a wolf with a bunch of lambs, do you know what you have? Dead lambs. And the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. What in the world? The children will go out and bring these animals for their food. This is the millennial time. This is a time like you've not ever experienced or heard of. This seems like that the preacher you have here, you thought I was in my right mind. Now you know I'm not. I'm not in my right mind. I seem to be talking about things that are bizarre. Yes, because the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ changes the world as you and I know it, and as every generation has known it from Adam on. Also, the cow and the bear will graze. I want to see it. I want to see it. There they'll be. Boy, look at all those animals out there grazing. Boy, look at those Angus cows. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who? Is that a bear out there with them? Grazing? You think that the Bible's making this up. You think this is some idea of just some spiritual idea. No, these are real bears. These are real cows. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Then in that day, watch through Isaiah. I wish I had the time. Get your concordance. Then in that day, the last days, then in the last day, then in that day, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse. The nations, they did not resort to the Lord Jesus. They said, crucify Him, and crucified Him. But in this day coming, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the peoples, and His resting place will be glorious. Then it will happen on that day. Then it will happen on that day that the Lord will again recover the second time with His hand the remnant of His people who remain from all the nations. These are the Jewish people. This isn't the church. This is the Jewish people who've been scattered. And He will lift up a standard for the nations, the ethnos. It is in the translation of the Old Testament in Greek. It's ethnos, the ethnics, the ethnos, the nations. And assemble the banished ones of Israel. And will gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Then the jealousy of Ephraim will depart, and those who harass Judah will be cut off. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah. They won't fight. Jews won't fight with each other. They will swoop down on the slopes of the Philistines on the west, together plunder the sons of the east. And the Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt, and He will wave His hand over the river with His scorching wind. He will strike it even into seven streams and make men walk over dry. This is how the Lord brings them back. There will be a highway from Assyria, from the remnant of His people who will be left, just as there was for Israel in that day they came out of the land of Egypt. There will be a great gathering again of Jews who are scattered still all over the face of the earth. What a glorious day it will be. And then we come to Isaiah 35, if you'll go there. Isaiah 35. Zion's happy future is what my Bible has in it. The wilderness and the desert will be glad. There is no wilderness in heaven. This isn't a chapter about a spiritual kind of idea about heaven. There's no wilderness in heaven. Okay? Arabah is not in heaven. It's a geographical location in the desert. The wilderness and the desert will be glad, and the Arabah will rejoice and blossom like a crocus. It will blossom profusely and rejoice with rejoicing and shout of joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They will see, creation will see the glory of the Lord. We saw His glory, John said. There's only one glorious one. That is the Lord Jesus. Now created order sees the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. This is second coming language. Revelation 19. He had on his side, his thigh written the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords, coming with glory with angels to do judgment on the earth. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but He will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like deer. The tongue of the mute will shout for joy. The waters will break forth in the wilderness, streams in the Arabah. The scorched land will become a pool. The thirsty ground springs of water. The haunts of jackals, its resting place. Grass becomes reeds and rushes. A highway will be there, a roadway. And it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way, and fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any vicious beast go upon it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. I'm going on the highway of holiness to Jerusalem, amen, says those of the millennial time. Amen. It'll be on Google Maps. Technology won't be gone during the millennial reign. All of the worries about technology today, it all will simply be enhanced when everybody can podcast the Lord Jesus around the clock from Jerusalem. Now that would be a podcast. Amen. That'd be better than your favorite preacher that you listen to all the time. And that's not me. And I'm okay with it. And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting to Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. I said it last week, Jerusalem's never had a good day. Jerusalem's had a terrible history because they rebelled against God. But there's coming a joyful day in Jerusalem when the Lord Jesus reigns there and all of Israel comes to Him and are saved. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I mean, I'm only to point five. The reign of Jesus Christ. You know, I was thinking about this. Maybe on Sundays I ought to preach like 11 points at a time. That'd be good. That would never work, would it? People would start getting up, walking out. When did you leave? Oh, I left on point four. That's when I left. The reign of Jesus Christ on earth reveals the promises and blessings coming in the future. Isaiah 65, 17, you remember we read it? You see, we know that John sees this and he realizes there will be a new heaven and a new earth. But you see, there's a new heaven. There's a new heaven, but there's a new earth that begins at the millennial reign. You see, some of the things that begin to take place in the millennial reign move things forward as the Lord Jesus prepares to hand all things to God the Father from His earthly reign. This is a mystery, but we have it in the Word of God. You see, the reign of Jesus Christ on the earth, number six, is when the Lord hands things over to the Father. Then the future eternal state begins. So we read these interesting words in 1 Corinthians 15, if you'd like to look there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 24. He's talking about the order of resurrection. The resurrection. And he says, then Paul talks about all things will be, the resurrection of the dead will come in its order. Christ first, then Christ the first fruits, after those who are Christ at His coming, verse 23, then comes the end. when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. He must reign. Not in heaven, on the earth. He must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy is death. And finally, death is swallowed up when the final great judgment of the white throne comes. Sadly, and those whose names are not in the book of life, they are judged. That's that final judgment that comes, as we read in the book of Revelation. Then we enter into something special. Another dimension. Look, did you know tonight I'm looking at my brothers and sisters? You're looking at me. Those of us who are born again will never die.
Amen.
You have endless life.
Yes.
You will never die again. Are you listening to me tonight? And even if you die and your body is deposited until resurrection day, you're still alive. These things are glorious. This is how you have hope. This is why the early church martyrs could go to their death with no fear. They understood how it ends. But somehow Christians today wring their hands and worry about the wrong things. We want to find some political leader who's going to solve something. It's not going to be solved. Only by the Lord Jesus will it be solved. The reign of the Lord Jesus on the earth glorifies the place where he was crucified. In Matthew 26, the Lord Jesus says this about himself. He says this as he was speaking to those who were ridiculing him. You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of glory. When he said that to the high priest and all of them as they were abusing him, he was slapped in the face. You know why? They all knew he was talking about the coming of Messiah to the earth. And they struck him. But the Lord Jesus, I'm saying to all of my dear friends tonight, will come sitting at the right hand of power, but then coming on the clouds, and he will reign on the earth on the throne of David. So the church, the first prayer of the church is Psalm 2. And I'd like for you to go to Psalm 2. The first prayer of the church is Psalm 2. You remember what happened. You remember Peter and John got thrown in jail. And they came back, and you remember they were told not to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus. You remember that? And you remember they went to the door because the door was locked where they were having church. They knocked on the door, and the dear little girl who opened the door was so excited when she saw Peter and John, she locked them out and went back and told the church. They had to knock to get back in. They finally got in and told what was told them, that they couldn't speak in the name of Jesus. The first prayer, the first worship service, the first song being sung by the church is Psalm 2. Did you know Psalm 2 is a millennial psalm? It makes no sense if you don't read it, if you read it some other way. Let's read it. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then He will speak to them in His anger and terrify them in His fury, saying, now this is a quote from God the Father, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. Yes, there is a heavenly Zion, but there is also an earthly Zion. Read your Bible carefully. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. Now, this is the Lord Jesus now speaking. It's in quotations. Read your Bible carefully. God the Father says, I have installed my king in Zion. Now the Lord Jesus says, I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord, of Yahweh. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will surely give you the nations as your inheritance and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. It hasn't happened yet. The Lord Jesus died and offered grace to the world, to all nations. He died for all, so that all might be saved. But He is coming the next time to all the nations. And the Word of God is told here, you shall break them with a rod of iron. See, He says, this is what He says. The Lord God said to me, this is Jesus, today I've begotten you as my son. And then God the Father says, ask of me and I'll give you the nations, the very ends of the earth, and you will break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now here's a word to the kings in the millennial reign. I wonder which Jewish evangelist will preach this. I'm not making this up. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that He may not become angry and you perish in the way, for His wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in Him. I said it to you last week. If you're like me, every morning I get up and I pray the disciples' prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. His kingdom is yet to come to this world. He has installed His king in Zion. When the millennial reign comes, it will be a glorious time, a wonderful time. So as we finish tonight, okay, we got to number 8. Oh, next week we'll do 9, 10, and 11. But I want you to go two other places as we finish. And I don't know what it is in here, but perhaps we're being reminded that hell will be hot, because it's hot in here to me. So if you were saying that, don't come tell me afterwards. I'm burning up, so we'll figure it out. Okay, you're cool, but I'm burning up. I'm hot. Psalm 45. This is a celebration song of the king's marriage. Yes, of course it was true for those earthly kings when they married. Yes, it's beautiful. But you see, the Psalms are filled with prophetic words about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus walked on that road with those disciples, and He opened to them the Scriptures, and He spoke to them out of the law and the Psalms and the prophets all the things about Himself. And this, I'm sure, was one of those things. My heart overflows with a good theme. I address my verses to the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Oh, did you hear what Mike sang? That is one of my all-time favorite songs. You are fairer than the sons of men. There's no one like the Lord Jesus. Grace is poured upon your lips, therefore God has blessed you forever. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one. The Lord hasn't done that yet. They stripped Him naked. He was put in a tomb, a borrowed tomb, raised from the dead with a linen cloth back on Him, a robe, a simple robe, no sword. But if you read the book of Revelation and understand it, and don't make it into some kind of fantasy, spiritual fantasy and myth, it's literal prophecy. He comes back. He is the one in Revelation 1 with a sword out of His mouth, because His words cut. And He will soon come with a sword to this world. When I pray, come the Lord Jesus, I'm talking about judgment. I'm talking about end this, Lord. End this. Enough. End it. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one. In your splendor and in your majesty and in your majesty, ride on victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp. The peoples fall under you. Your arrows are in the heart of the king. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. If you read your Bible and you have notes, Hebrews chapter 1, these are words about the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter belongs to a king. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness, hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows. And then finally tonight, Psalm 72. And with this, we'll be finished. We're going to just let the Word of God, the reign of the righteous King. You see, the Lord Jesus is our priest king in heaven, dear brothers and sisters. He is after the order of Melchizedek. He is the one to whom we go as believers to the throne of grace. He is our priest king. His reign is eternal in heaven. He reigns over the church, but he also will reign again on the earth. Give him his due. Give him his honor. His honor is not complete until he finishes the work and the promises are fulfilled that God has made to Abraham. We've spent 10 months of this church over the last 10 months in Genesis. And it all started when God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. And I'm going to give you this, and this is going to be your blessing. And from you, from your seed, I will bless all the nations, the Lord Jesus. And so now we read the reign of the righteous king. Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. By the way, this is written by Solomon, the greatest of kings of Israel. It all went downhill from there, didn't it? If you read this in, we've learned about the Targums. If you read this in the Targums, it simply says, of Solomon. Now, we read this glorious prophecy of the king greater than the greatest king of Israel. What did the Lord say about himself one time? Someone greater than Solomon is here. Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your afflicted with justice. Let the mountains bring peace to the people. Those are real mountains. And the hills in righteousness. May he vindicate the afflicted of the people. You see, there had been a lot of affliction go on in the world. That's why we're praying, come, Lord Jesus. Has there not been a lot of affliction in the world? Has there not been a lot of pain and unjustly, injustice? And it's time, Lord. How much more? How much more does the church endure? What do we do? May he vindicate the afflicted of the people, save the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. Do you think anybody's being oppressed in the world today? Let them fear you while the sun endures. It's a real sun that shines. This is more than the kings, though this was used for all the kings and their coronation of Israel. This is beyond those kings. May he come down like the rain upon the mown grass, like showers that water the earth in his days. All, by the way, the rabbinic tradition knows this to be a messianic psalm. In his days may the righteous flourish. An abundance of peace till the moon is no more. May he, please notice, may he, verse 2, did you see it there? May he, verse 4, may he, verse 6, may he, verse 8, rule from sea to sea. Jesus is going to rule it all. Global rulership. And if you're saved, you're on the right team. And from the river, capital R, to the ends of the earth. Let the nomads of the desert bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. Let the kings of Tarshish and of the islands bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba offer gifts. And let all kings bow down before him. All nations serve him. That's not just all that's some from all the nations. No, that's all nations. It hadn't happened yet. For he will deliver the needy when he cries for help. The afflicted also and him who has no helper. He will have compassion on the poor and needy. And the lives of the needy he will save. He will rescue their life from oppression and violence. And their blood will be precious in his sight. So may he live, and may the gold of Seba be given to him. And let them pray for him continually. Let them bless him all the day. May there be abundance of grain in the earth on top of the mountains. That didn't happen with the other kings of Israel. Its fruit will wave like the cedars of Lebanon. Now that's some really, really tall grain. Grain as tall as trees. And may those from the city flourish like vegetation of the earth, and may his name endure forever. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus tonight. May the name of the Lord Jesus endure forever. May his name increase as long as the sun shines. And let men bless themselves by him. Let all nations call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone works wonders. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And may the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. You can't end with a better prayer than that. Because the kings, King David and his son, now pray the greatest prayer of all. Come, Lord Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? All right, enough. Here's our song. Jesus is coming again. Newer song. Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King. Jesus is coming again. Forest and flower, exclaim. Mountain and meadow, the same. All earth and heaven proclaim, Jesus is coming again. Standing before him at last, trial and trouble all past. Crowns at his feet we will cast. Jesus is coming again. And what's the chorus? We know it, coming again. Coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Folks, oh, what a wonderful day it will be.
Amen.
Jesus is coming again. Now, let's go tell somebody about Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Give us boldness. May we share the gospel. Come, Lord Jesus, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Reign on the earth and put all enemies under your feet. Finish it all, Lord Jesus, we pray. Save. May we do our work. Save souls. Save sinners from their sin in these last of times. And may we be bold about it with great victory and confidence, because nothing can harm us. We have been saved and born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I'm going to go home and lay down. That's all I can do. Have a great evening. Lord willing, see you Sunday.